brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
Obviously, Bob has got the advantage, and I got to be honest with you, John, they have looked good all year long.
But Calhoun won with a freshman quarterback last year, so it can happen.
I'm trying to find my brackets, and you guys keep talking about teams and it's going entirely too fast.
Well, you said rapid fire.
I know, so I said rapid fire. I know how this goes. Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast here at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for accessing us however you are doing so, large device or small. John here, you there. Nikki is on assignment during the bye week. She'll be back next week. It is time for the GPB All-Stars as we head into that transition time from Season 2 to Season 3. I have a new friend. We'll get into that one a little later on. But first, our first guest, always batting leadoff on the All-Stars, Todd Holcomb from the Georgia High School Football Daily. Todd, thanks for dropping by for the All-Stars pre-playoff edition.
Wouldn't miss it. Thanks for having me again.
All right. One of the first things I wanted to get into was some of the new region champs, first time, long times, that kind of a thing. And I thought it was, obviously, if people haven't subscribed, what's taking you so long to subscribe to this thing, because it's a great Bible for every single day. But you've got Valdosta with their first title, and this is wild to me considering Region 1 being what it is, Valdosta's first title in a decade. A lot of folks who are fairly close, Sequoia getting their first since 2003, Jackson County and Corey Mobbs and bringing over Philip Jones after his time at Brookwood came to an end. They get their first region title, first ever for Locust Grove, who when they had a coaching change, they'd had a couple of winless seasons. You've got, I'm trying to sit here and see who's another first-time, long-time. Gordon Lee's a first-time, long-time. Hebron Christian getting their first-ever region title. 1978 for Gordon Lee. Wheeler County getting their first one in, like, forever. So it's really cool to see the folks that are the new bloods coming back in and getting those first-time, long-times, too.
Yeah, that's my favorite part of high school football, honestly, is to see teams make history like that the first time they've, you know, won a region title, or won a playoff game, or beat a certain team. So those stories are always good, and some of that surprised me. I didn't think Gordon Lee had gone that long since 1978, and I mean they've had a few good teams, and Hebron Christian, they just won a state title. So how can they have not won a region title? But they didn't win it last year. You know, they lost to Prince Avenue for the region title, and then beat them for the championship game. So they took care of the region this time, and. So, yeah, a lot of good stories. Also, I'll point out about Valdosta. 2016 was the last time they won a region title, and that was one of the seasons they played in the second highest class, and they went on and won the state title. So it's the first time they've won Region 1 in the highest class since, I believe, 2011. So, yeah, great season for Valdosta.
In 6A, obviously, you look at things. You've got a lot of undefeated teams. Are you viewing the playoffs as we head into Season 3 here? How many surprises are you anticipating? Are you looking at this as mainly a year where the folks that are in the top tens are just going to be making their big pushes? How are you looking at this year just from in general perspective this season?
Well, I haven't studied it close enough to have a sense of would this year be different than most. I can just say that most years the home teams and the favorites are we usually do very, very well, and especially if you just talk about the favorites. So for, you might have a really good team going on the road that you expect to win, So if you just look at the favorite, you may only have, sometimes there's only, 15, 20 true upsets. So you don't have a lot, but the ones you have are still, you don't know what they're going to be. And so Monday, you're still excited about them.
You look at some of the matchups, and even to get out of quadrants, if folks look at favorites, just to get out of quadrants, just to give folks an example, you could have upper left quadrant in 6A, you could have a Carrollton-Grayson matchup to get to a semifinal. You could have a Valdosta and McEachern to get to a semifinal. You could have, a Buford-Douglas County to get to a semifinal. You could have, low left, you could have North Gwinnett and Lowndes in the second round of the playoffs. I know all of this gets changed when we bring in the Matt Stewart model next year for power rankings, but you got some really juicy stuff just to get out of your little mini brackets these times.
Yeah, you do. And honestly, I'm not sure that it's going to change as much as Matt Stewart thinks when they go to that model. Because he and I agree on the idea of ranking, of ranking the teams 1 to 32 based on how good they are, it does theoretically, you know, move those really blockbuster matchups to later in the tournament. But if you look at Class 3A, now they're using the points model, and I'm noticing that Sandy Creek and Calhoun could play in the quarters. I mean, those, I think, are possibly the best two teams in that class. So I'm not sure this points model is the best thing to really see them accurately. If that would be my one criticism of the whole process, you're still going to see those early, you know, showdown games that are a little too early.
Yeah, and you mentioned Triple A. Let's go down to Double A, where you see a team like a Carver Columbus, who is, you know, running up a boatload of offensive numbers all season long, and because of the power rankings, they're at number 3. Carver Atlanta is your number 1, and you could have a Carver Columbus Callaway or a Carver Columbus Thompson to get to a semifinal there, and you know, Carver Atlanta, you're looking at maybe a North Murray for them in a 1-8, and so you look at the name. And you're sitting there going, wow, but then you attach a number to it, and you're going, man, that's a difficult path for some of these folks.
Sure. I don't know how you can rank Carver number 3. I mean, they're defending champion, and they're undefeated. But, you know, Carver Atlanta is also undefeated, so you never know how good they are until it plays out. You know, Carver Columbus, they're loaded again, but
yeah,
they have a freshman quarterback, by the way. So who knows? But Calhoun won with a freshman quarterback last year, so it can happen. But that is a question mark for that team. So, you know, some of these seeds look sketchy until they start playing out, and you think, well, maybe, you know, it wasn't so bad. So you never know.
Todd, as always, thanks for batting leadoff here in the All-Stars. We'll be catching up with you before you know it, and we'll see you at Mercedes-Benz before we know it, too.
Hey, thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
Batting second on the All-Stars, we go to Middle Georgia and catch up with one of the hottest tag teams in all of TV sports. Cecily Stout and Sammy Costas hanging out with us from 13 WMAZ. Thanks for hanging out with us. Welcome to the All-Stars, both of you, once again, the pre-playoff edition.
Excited to be here.
All right. Now, so who won the toss? Who gets to answer the first question?
Sammy's got it.
Cecily's got it.
All right.
Oh, I'll go.
All right, so Sammy, since you're the new one, you're going to go first. I just made an executive decision. All right.
Perfect.
So, Sammy, you look at the playoff picture in Middle Georgia. What are some of the big storylines that have stuck out to you as we get ready for season number 3?
I think Cecily and I would both agree on this, that Wes Lawrence is one of our teams that we're looking out for. We love to watch then compete. Their offense has got a lot of heat going, obviously, with Ty Cummings running the game always very well. But I also saw a lot of heat from their defense when I was there Thursday night for them to win the region. They didn't let up all 3 quarters I was there. Obviously, I couldn't stay for the 4th one, but it was very impressive to see that kind of come to fruition. Houston County's doing really well. Their sophomore quarterback has got quite the arm on him. So it's really interesting to watch him be able to find multiple connections throughout the game, whoever is hot on the receiving front. So a lot of good things to watch out for there. Northeast, obviously, a lot of people in Central Georgia have their eyes on them as well, because obviously they went to state last year. So kind of seeing what they're going to bring to the table this season. Freshman quarterback Jordan Wiggins, a lot of things.
Yep, no doubt about it. So, Cecily, you look at the grid. Wes Lawrence has beat right now AAA in round number 1, but then you look at that low left bracket. Someone's kind of lurking there for Wes Lawrence at team number 12, shall we say. You could have, to get out of low left, you could have, if everything goes with the numbers, a Peach County West Lawrence quarterfinal to get to the semifinal. Nothing like a running game like West Lawrence to go up against Marquise Westbrook and what he's been able to do down there at Peach County.
That's right. That'll be probably one of our biggest matchups if that happens the way it does, because those two teams, we've been keeping our eyes on West Lawrence all year, but at the start of the season, it was all about Peach County. We were talking about Zion Hudson, their quarterback. It's just been exciting what Marquise has kind of built down there, and it just seems to continue to grow each season under him. So last year, Peach County obviously had a really deep run into the playoffs. I'm sure they're going to try to mimic that and go even further this year. So if we could have a little West Lawrence Peach County matchup, that would be something that we would have a lot of fun with.
Are there any, Sammy, any Cinderellas that you're staring at? I mean, I'm looking at Class A Division I matchups off the top of my head. I'm looking at 19 and 14, Jeff Davis and Bleckley County. I think that one's going to be an interesting one out of the blocks. Then on the left-hand side, you're staring at Washington County and Dublin. There's subplot there with that, with Team 8 and 25. What other matchups kind of below the radar might be? For someone who hasn't been watching football in Middle Georgia this year, what else sticks out to you in first-round matchups?
Ace could definitely be a Cinderella. If they were able to pull something off, that would be a Cinderella story in that same bracket. Also, East Lawrence, obviously coming in with more of an underdog at 32 from Central Georgia. But that would be a tough beat, Heard County at number one. So that would be really interesting to see. Bleckley County, I think, would probably be the top team Cinderella wise that could really do something and get cooking, I think.
When
Dodge
County. Yeah, no doubt. Keep going with Dodge County. Absolutely. I can agree with you there as well. As I'm sitting here, I'm trying to find my brackets, and you guys keep talking about teams, and it's going entirely too fast.
you said rapid fire.
I know. So I said rapid fire. I know how this goes. One of the really cool storylines for me, Cecily, comes out of AA, and it's Team 29, where you have Westside Macon and Shed Risper. And Shed, I've known Shed for a really long time. And for Shed in this swan song for him, yes, it's going to be a tough matchup at 4 and 29. When you look at someone like what Shed has been able to do down there at Westside, when you look at the traditional teams that we talked about, I know that Houston County was mentioned, Warner Robins making a late dash as well, Perry going to be a part of the discussion. Perry, for me, was another one to sit there. You mentioned Dodge County and Rabun, you know, Sammy, at Class A Division I in 15 and 18. There's a whole bunch of things where if a higher-seeded team doesn't pay attention, Cecily, you could have a team slip up, and Perry gets North Oconee in round number one.
That's right. I think what's interesting, too, is for a lot of our teams that maybe usually in the last couple of years have been heavy hitters, maybe they have slipped this year, but the point is they made it to the playoffs, and that's the first step. All you need now is to be playing some of your best ball, and, you know, you could turn things around at the right time and end up upsetting someone and staying alive in the postseason. So I think obviously there are some really tough matchups, like you were mentioning, with Westside and Morgan County. But obviously Perry, you know, they've done it before. They've made it to the bends before. They may not have had the same result during the regular season, but that doesn't mean they can't have a run now in the postseason.
All right, Sammy, last question goes to you. For someone who has not seen high school football in Middle Georgia, what are they missing out on from all the places that you and Cecily and everybody there at FFN have been keeping an eye on all season long?
I think they're missing out on the culture that there is here. A lot of people really care about what's going on, and it's really unique to see. When I was at West Lawrence on Thursday, that place was packed. I've seen college games with less people there if you're going to a JUCO or a lower level school. That place was rocking. And so I think the home atmosphere is really going to take a big piece of this puzzle for Central Georgia teams, the ones that get to host. I think that'll be a definite change of pace for some other teams coming in here.
And we're looking forward to it. As always, one of the great tag teams here in the state of Georgia, Cecily Stout and Sammy Costas, 13 WMAZ. Guys, I'm just going to make sure all your batteries are charged, make sure the gas tanks are full, make sure that everything is functioning and all the cards have been purged so all the information can stay so you guys can go wall to wall on Friday nights as you always do. Thanks for dropping by the All-Stars. Great to catch up with you. We can't wait to see what it looks like there on Friday night.
Thanks for having us.
We're excited.
Thank you.
Now we head down to South Georgia, catch up with the host of Extra Point and Everything, ITG Next, based in Valdosta, Phil Jones. Phil, it's great to have you back for the All-Stars. The in-between, the bye week edition as we head into Season 3.
Hey, John, thanks so much for the invite. Always enjoy it.
All right, so when you look at, and I know that you at ITG Next, you guys cover everything in and around the state, but you're looking at 6A, we'll start there. We'll start with your region oneness in 6A. where you have Colquitt County and Mill Creek. Valdosta gets their first region title in a decade and took the Wintersville Classic to figure it out. You had all this math that was involved, and Valdosta's the one, Lowndes is the two, and you have Colquitt is the three. So once again, 1, 2, and 3 making noise in 1-6A, and Richmond Hill gets to go to Buford as your four seed.
Yeah, it's been a crazy season, John. You know,
how crazy is it, Phil?
Funny you should ask, John. Colquitt, Lowndes, Valdosta. Of course, no mystery that those were the top three. But the mystery was who in the world was going to finish number one? Who was going to be two? And who was going to be three? And of course, it went down to the final weekend. Tiebreaker goes to the Cats. And so here we are. Valdosta, tell you, look really good. Wintersville Classic, you couldn't have asked for a better venue, better game, a better atmosphere than the Wintersville Classic at Bazemore Hodder Stadium this past Friday night. It was nuts. John, everybody in their lifetime listening to this, watching this, needs to attend a Wintersville Classic in their lifetime.
Amen, brother.
Yep. But so Valdosta being the one seed, I got to be honest with you, they got a pretty good draw to the victor go to the spoils. Number 2 and 3, that being Lowndes and Colquitt County, they played well this year. Could be looking at some trouble down the line, and when I say down the line, could be earlier than expected in rounds 2 and 3. But you know, we'll see what happens.
I mean, yeah, if you end up with, let's just say, for the sake of example, as we sit here and fill out our brackets in pen, because we're that confident, Colquitt and Mill Creek, mini bracket, upper left. Colquitt, Mill Creek, Norcross, Grayson. That's the mini bracket for Colquitt County. That's your mini bracket just to get into the quarterfinals. You'd have to get through Grayson to get into the quarters. And then if you're Lowndes, it's Collins Hill, Lowndes, South Gwinnett, North Gwinnett. So you have a second-round matchup lurking of Lowndes and North Gwinnett, and a second-round matchup of Colquitt County and Grayson. Schedule makers and fans are sitting there going, man, that's fantastic. Coaches are sitting there going, man, come on. I don't think I'm wrong.
No, you're not. And listen, this has been no mystery. You know, the brackets, ever since they were released in whatever, July, I mean, it's been no mystery that, look, no mystery that the winner of this and how important it was to win this region. Look, I wrote a story. You guys can check it out. Shameless plug here where I said, you know, what's it going to take for the South to come back? And, of course, by that, I meant the Region 1-6A winner. And I interviewed Jeff Hare and Ann Rush Probst. Both of them said, John, number one, numero uno, you got to win your region. Mm-hmm. Well, Valdosta has done that. So, and I think they're going to have obviously the best shot of the teams we've talked about from Region 1-6A, just because of all the travel. You know, you just mentioned Colquitt's got to make that long drive. We're up to Suwanee.
Houston. Yeah, actually, it's Houston. It's like North Gwinnett County. Yeah, Houston.
Okay. Yeah. Bottom line, you know, you got to travel, and then if you win, you got to travel again. So anyway. It's going to be a tough hoe for everyone. And I'm not saying anything's automatic, but obviously Valdosta has got the advantage. And I got to be honest with you, John, they have looked good all year long. They stumbled a little bit, obviously, against Colquitt County. But watch the Wildcats. And I mean that completely unbiased. They have got an athletic team. They're solid. They're getting great quarterback play. From Tyreek Wade, who's really come on as the season has progressed. So watch out for Valdosta. They could make some noise.
What about dark horses? Anybody that you think can be a sneaky good run that we're ignoring right now?
Are you talking about from the region? Or
overall, this is the blanket question, brother. You pick your classification, pick your dark horse. Who do you think could sneak through and sit there and people go, gee, I didn't have that one on my bracket?
Well, I think people are overlooking McEachern, and I think that's dangerous. I thought McEachern was going to be a team to beat way back in the preseason, and I'm still going to stick to that. Now, some may say, well, they're not really a dark horse, but I just don't think that a lot of people are paying attention to McEachern, not getting the credit they deserve. But, you know, watch out for Kareem Reed's Indians. They have got so much depth, especially at running back and receiver. And I got to tell you, they have done all this this season with a lot of their key players injured. They're getting these guys back, and so they're going to be even more dangerous than they were in the regular season. So, again, may not necessarily, you know, qualify as your true dark horse, but I would say watch out for McEachern.
Well, and you know who's lurking in their bracket to circle things. Yeah, to circle things back around to the initial part of the discussion. Quarterfinal matchup lurking with Valdosta. Shameless plug. Go ahead and hit it. In addition to your already shameless plug once before.
Thank you, John. I always appreciate it. So you can catch everything we do. ITG Next. All social media, Facebook. We put out a newsletter twice a week. Yours truly hosts Monday night and Friday night. Just general conversation. Well, we talked high school football. Really had a lot of fun this past Friday night. And six coaches shows I'm hosting right now, John. And all but one could be talking to him for a while. Kareem Reed, McEachern, Worth County's Jeff Hammond, Houston County's Jeremy Edwards, Roswell's JT Thompson, who I just got through speaking with, Talkwood County's Sean Calhoun. Who am I leaving out, John?
I don't know. Who are you leaving out?
I got one more. Well, Tiff County's Jeff Littleton. There, yep. We'll host his final show tomorrow. But I think that's it. But yeah, we'll have a lot of fun talking with those guys. I think all those teams I just mentioned have got a chance to really make some noise. Don't forget about Worth County too. Now uh-huh. They've been making a lot of noise so far this year. And look out for Jeff Hammond, Worth County Rams.
No doubt about it. As always, my friend, great to catch up with you. They are number three ranking Class A Division I. They have the winner of Jeff Davis and Bleckley lurking, as well as Gordon Lee and Elbert County lurking upper right. As always, my friend, great to catch up with you here on the All-Stars. We'll be seeing you soon.
John, thank you so much. I absolutely love this, man. I'm so honored.
And as always, our cleanup hitter, the voice of Football Fridays in Georgia here at Georgia Public Broadcasting, our own Matt Stewart. And so, Matt, when you look at things before we dive into dark horses and matchups and things like that, it's the last year of ones and twos and threes and fours in half of the classifications. You look at the matchups, what have you seen?
Yeah, well, first of all, to address the last year, the ones and twos and the threes and fours, so... as I've elaborated many times, I'm super excited about the new power ranking system. We already see that there's some hiccups in it, in that, you know, the controversy involving Southeast Bullock and stuff like that. So that, I think that's in 3A. But, so my overarching feeling about that is I'm excited about the power rankings. Number two, there's some things they got to tweak and iron out. I'd like to see them, you know, get some other elements, just the power rankings, kind of like the BCS, have some other elements in there, maybe a human component in there, whether that's a composite like the Georgia High School Football Daily puts together or whatever the case may be, and then kind of an oversight committee to kind of, just make sure everything's straight up instead of just relying on the numbers.
So you look at some of the classifications, and because of what happened on Decision Day, you end up with some very, very spicy matchups out of the blocks, at least in name. 6A's got some really spicy ones with 1A teams heading north. You've got one in Quad A where Perry gets north of Coney in round number one because of how tough that region is in middle and south Georgia. Perry ends up as your four. They get to go to north of Coney. When you look at the matchups across the board, how chalky are you thinking round one is going to be? Could it completely go in the blender at points? What are you thinking?
Yeah, not sure. I mean, the matchup we're going to do, Mill Creek and Colquitt County. Colquitt County, basically, they were co-region champs. They lost out on the seeding is just based on, you know, point differentials. I think total points given up. So, the matchup that we're showing, and we're happy to be showing it because we think it's a great matchup. I think it's the best matchup in the first round. It's Colquitt County and Mill Creek, but that is the reason right there. This is Exhibit A as to why they're going to the power rankings, because you got two teams that are easily ranked, you know, what, top 12, 13 in the state in their classification. So they, you know, by model, the way a tournament format is usually you know, seeded and done, they shouldn't even be playing in the first round. We're glad they are, because that's going to give us a great matchup, but it makes a very tough matchup, means a very good team is playing a tougher than probably needed to be playing opponent in that first round. So, yeah, I like that matchup. Colquitt County's interesting in that, of course, they dismiss Jay Lamar, their four-star running back, during the middle of the season, but he's back with the team now. He's been reinstated. So you're talking about one of the best running backs in the state returning to the Colquitt County offense, and their whole offense is built around Jay Lamar. So, you know, when I say whole, I don't mean 100%, but I mean 65%, 70% of the offense is built around having Jay Lamar. So this greatly increases their chances of advancing. So it'll be interesting. It won't be an easy game, though, because they got to come to Houston from Moultrie to play that game. And I think that's a very interesting matchup as far as North Oconee. You know, I've had them ranked number one since the preseason, but they don't have Kamari Brooks. I think it's going to be very hard for them to repeat as state champions without Kamari Brooks, who was clearly the best player on their team and a four-star linebacker committed to Georgia. But he's much more than that to the Titans in that he played defense, he played offense, he played special teams. So they're number one still in my rankings, because I'm not going to drop them from number one in my rankings because a player got hurt. But the reality is they're not the same team. And so in Perry, you know, we've seen Perry just a couple of years ago, though, although they're not the same team that won the state championship a couple of years ago. They're definitely a very explosive and potent team. So that's a tough matchup, too.
When you look at all of the undefeateds that are going into this postseason, in 6A, as an example, you've got four undefeated teams at the top in 6A. You have two teams at the top who are undefeated in 5A in Hughes and Thomas County Central. Creekside, Cartersville, North Oconee. You've got four, including Central Carroll in Quad A. You have Sandy Creek and North Hall that are unbeaten in AAA, along with West Laurens. When you look at all of these unbeaten teams that ran the table 10-0, do you sit there and think that this is going to be these 10-0s and all of these top 10s that are going to be making it all the way through? Are we going to see some dark horses here? Or are you looking at this as the top 10s that we have right now? I'm anticipating, as I fill up my bracket and pen, that that's how I think things are going to finish.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I think it would be presumptuous of us to think that all the 10-0s are just going to be chalk and get all the way to the semifinals, because, you know, I think you mentioned there's four of them in 6A, there's four of them in 4A. I don't know that that's going to happen. I mean, reality is it's probably not. It's who's going to get upset, though, is the question. So, I mean, you have Valdosta is not. They're, I think they finished
9-1.
8-2 or 9-1.
They were 9-1, yeah.
Their only loss was to Colquitt County.
Right.
By one point, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so where do they fit into the mix? Where, you know, when we start getting into those quarterfinal brackets, you know, I the way I see it, I don't know that anybody's going to stop them in the first two rounds, but then they're coming north, and I think they're in the bracket with McEachern and an undefeated. So you could possibly have a Valdosta-McEachern matchup in the quarterfinals. And so the 10-0, McEachern's for real. We know that. We saw them. I've been high on McEachern since I saw them bust Walton in the Corky Kell Dave Hunter Classic. Even before then, I thought they'd be really good. They've proven to be even better than I thought. But, you know, where that game ends up being played on the coin toss could have a big bearing on, you know, who wins that game. Is it going to be at Valdosta? Is it going to be at McEachern? So I think that's one to watch there in the quarterfinals. And then, of course, in the quarterfinals in 6A in particular, you're looking at a state championship game rematch between two unbeatens, Grayson and Carrollton, if those two teams get to the quarters, and they'll be favored to win their first two round games. So I think it's not unrealistic to think that Grayson and Carrollton, a rematch of the state championship game, is going to happen in the quarterfinals.
So when you are looking at the brackets, how do you study going forward, getting ready for the championships that we have on GPB? When you have all of these brackets here in front of you, How do you have study hall for you for the next 6 weeks? How do you manage all of this stuff with everything going on?
Well, I'm gonna use the coach's cliche. I take it one game at a time. So until I get past the semifinals, and then I can no longer take it one game at a time. Then it's 5 games in 3 days for me, which I thoroughly enjoy. Don't ever think that I'm complaining. I love it. I'd do all 8 if I could, but I'd never make it. I'd collapse about game 6. I probably would like
that would be
totally
bad.
Collapse.
Sir. Yes, that would be bad.
Yeah, that would be bad. But I would love to be able to do them all, but I can't physically manage that, or maybe mentally. I could probably mentally better do it than I could physically do it. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. But I take them one game at a time there. So that I don't cheat anybody. And then, just hopefully when I get to the finals, most assuredly when I get to the finals, I'm going to have, probably the 6-8 matchup usually for us is the easiest because we predominantly end up doing 6-8 teams during the regular season. And for obvious reasons, they're the biggest schools and, they draw the most attention, the biggest viewership. That's just kind of the way it is. So, yeah, 6A will be pretty easy for me because I would have probably seen them the week before and many times during the season. And then it gets tougher as we go down in the brackets. And when I say go down, I don't mean in any kind of a negative way, but just as far as the seeding as we go from 4 to 5 to 3 to 2. So looking forward to that, but, I'll tackle that when I get to it. It's kind of the answer to your question.
As always, it's great to catch up with you, my friend, as we get ready for Colquitt County and Mill Creek to start the playoffs, not this Friday, but next Friday, so we have time to catch our breath ourselves. Safe travels, my friend. I know you're calling a bunch of other sports right now. We will catch up with you soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So that's another look at the All-Stars here at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Once again, thanks to Matt Stewart. Thanks to Phil Jones at ITG Next in Valdosta. Thanks to Cecily and Sammy at 13 WMAZ in Macon. Thanks to Todd Holcomb from the Georgia High School Football Daily. And thanks to all of you. Jeremy, first off, before Ambassador Jeremy, before you ask your question, because I heard that microphone open up. This is from our friends at Jasper County and Monticello High. And this is from Coach Henderson. And he sent this to add to our stacks. If you want to have your helmet shown on the GPB set, reach out to me. Reach out to us on social media, and we'll get it here, and we will get it shown off as we get into the postseason and the postgame show.
For the people only listening.
Yes.
What is it?
Oh, it is a helmet for our friends from the Jasper County /Monticello Hurricanes. And it is their white helmet with the gray and purple stripe down the center with the Canes logos on both sides. And so Coach Henderson there in the Monticello, and actually, just so you know, just to reinforce that it is in fact Monticello, on the base of the helmet, it's to remind you, Cella right there. So Monticello on the base of the helmet. But once again, thanks to our friends at Jasper County and to Coach Henderson for adding this helmet to the stacks. We want to show off the state to the rest of the state, so let us know how we can do that and send the helmets, and we'll show them off here on the video side of things on the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast, and we'll show them off on set during the postseason. Your question, sir.
For the first round of the playoffs.
Sure.
I want to know, if I live in different parts of the state, like what are the games that are going to be the most exciting for football fans? So maybe Northwest, Northeast, Atlanta area, South Georgia.
Okay.
Give me some to look for.
All right, so I'll give you rapid fire. 6A, our game. So please, if you go to Hushton for Colquitt County and Mill Creek, take a device with you so you can watch the device and watch our coverage of doing the playoffs while you're there in person. In 5A, Coffee travels to Sequoia, and that's a 1-4 matchup. Coffee is an atypical 4 seed. Keep an eye out for that one, because Coffee will travel, and that'll be a fun environment. They'll probably bring their industrial-sized smoker as well, and for the tailgate at Sequoia High School. Glen Academy at Jackson County, first ever region title for Jackson County in school history. Go to Jackson County and catch that 1-4. In Quad A, Ware County travels to Flowery Branch. That's a great 2-3 matchup, so you get to go to Flowery Branch, kind of up into Hall County. You get to look at that one. Perry at North Oconee, if you're looking for something out Watkinsville way. Mays at Cass, if you're looking for something out toward Cartersville in Quad A. In Triple A, I have Pickens at Monroe area. So once again, that's out 78 heading toward Athens, in between Stone Mountain and Athens, right there, Monroe area, right off of 78. You can catch that one there. Gilmer at Douglas Atlanta if you're looking for something inside the city. In AA, Cook at North Murray in the North Georgia Mountains. North Murray scores a lot of points. Cook has a great defense. You have in the private side of things, you have Mount Perrin and Holy Innocents. You have Wesleyan and Providence Christian. Most of these schools are inside the Atlanta area. So if you're looking for that one, Darlington and Aquinas. Ambassador Jeremy, that one's for you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Darlington and Aquinas. That one is everyone traveling from Rome to Augusta to go take on the Fighting Irish. In Class A Division 1, Social Circle at Harrelson County. So that one is out in the western frontier. You can go catch that one out there in Tallapoosa. Washington County in Dublin. That's out I-16. You've got Fannin County at Northeast Macon. That one's in Middle Georgia. Story with Chad Cheatham that we'll tell you about later. Putnam County in Thomasville, South Georgia. Temple at Toombs County, Lyons, that's out in East Georgia. Jeff Davis at Bleckley County, Middle Georgia. Oglethorpe County, Elbert County, Northeast Georgia Mountains. Gordon Lee, Northwest Georgia Mountains, are our friends from Towers. Story on that one for the championships. Dodge County at Rabun County, Northeast Georgia Mountains. Manchester at Wheeler County, go to Alamo, first ever region title they've ever had. Bowden hosting Wilcox County in a 1-4, Northeast Georgia, West Georgia. Glasscock at Screven, East Georgia, Troutland at Mount Zion Carroll, West Georgia. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of good football.
Yes, sir, and we are here to cover it each and every single week. Now, let me see who's on the other side of the glass. I believe it is Jake the Snake who's there. Ambassador Jeremy is there. There Goes Tokyo. Mark Chilla is there. King James is there. And the unknown intern, I think, is probably sleeping in the back. Am I wrong? I didn't think I was wrong.
No, you're not.
That's what I figured.
Yeah.
That's another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast, bye week edition. We get you ready for the playoffs. Enjoy the week. Catch your breath. You're going to need it for all of us here, to all of you there. Thanks for dropping by. Play it safe, everybody. Enjoy the bye week. We'll catch up with you in the playoffs.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.